As we continue in our studies, and yes, I'm picking up my clock here today because we're trying to keep ourselves on target. I was told last week I preached for 55 minutes. That was a little long. It was a good sermon, but sometimes pastor can get a little windy. And when the hurricane starts coming up, you all need to let me know that Jesus needs to calm the storm, okay? But today we're going to go on in our discussion of the parables, and I've entitled this sermon "Brighter Light Brighter Than the Sun," because there is a light that is brighter than the sun. And I want to talk just a moment about that. You know, I don't know how many of you were ever in Boy Scouts or Girl Scouts, or you had a sleepover at home and you were out in the backyard, in a tent and what have you, that kind of stuff. And you had a flashlight out there with you, right? And one of the things that I used to think was fun when we were in Scouts was everybody would bring their different flashlights, and we'd always try to see whose is the brightest, because you had some that, they could turn it on, and it was like, is that thing really on? And there are others, especially today, there are some flashlights out there that you can hold in your hand, you turn it on, and it'll light this room up, because, just the technology, is just grown so much. But it's amazing, because those flashlights only work in the darkness, because when the sun comes up, they pale in comparison to the light of the sun. But I want us to understand that there is another light, that even the shining of our sun, the star that is out there to give us warmth and light, there is a light that is even brighter than that light, and that is the light of Jesus Christ. And that light is what we're going to be talking about today. So if you would, open your scriptures to the book of Luke. Now, normally when we do I have two little parables, I read both of them. Well, these two parables are in contrast to each other, because one is for believers, the other is for unbelievers. So we're going to deal with the one, and then we'll deal with the other. So turn in your Bibles to the book of Luke. We are going to be in the 8th chapter. Many of you are probably already there. Pastor's just telling you to get there, and I need to get there. So we're in Luke in the 8th chapter. And we're going to begin in verse 16, and it's just three little verses here from 16, 17, and 18. And Jesus himself is teaching, and he has something here to say, and he says something similar to it at several different places. And today we're going to deal with it here. He says to us, "Now no one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a container, or puts it under a bed, but he puts it on a lampstand so that those who come in may see the light." Now, in this context, and this is one of the greatest parts of hermeneutics, a couple weeks ago we learned that, if you're going to interpret the scripture, if you're going to read through it, you need to use the HGRT method, which means historical, grammatical, rhetorical, and theological method. Okay, we have to understand it historically, grammatically, rhetorically, and theologically in order to interpret the scriptures. So we need to think about who's he talking to, what's going on, what is happening at this very time. Well, Jesus here is talking to the people, and he's talking to his disciples. This is right after he has interpreted to them the parable of the sower. Okay, so Jesus has explained the parable of the sower to his people, and directly on the heels of it, this is his disciples, he says, "Now no one, after lighting a lamp, covers it over with a container or puts it under a bed, but he puts it on a lampstand so that those who come in may see the light." So Jesus is saying, "I just gave you light. Don't hide it." Jesus is the light of the world. He is our light. He illuminates us, okay? And we need to understand that when Jesus is giving us this light, he's giving it to us to use in our lives, not to hide, okay? It so amazes me, because many people in Christianity or in the kingdom or supposedly in the kingdom will say, oh, but my faith is private. My faith is private. My faith is private. But Jesus never said that anywhere. Jesus said that our faith, our light, is to shine before men, that men may see our good deeds and praise God. And we need to allow that light to shine out from us. It's not something that we put under a bowl. It's not something we hide deep down in. And our world, our society, wants us to hide it under a bowl. They want us to shove it in a closet of our being and never bring it out except when we walk through those doors. I want you to think about that. You know, Brother Mitch just shared that there was a hotel that had absolutely no Bibles right down the road from us. But Brother Mitch also shared here a while back that there are hotels now that are refusing to take Bibles, where that has not happened before. And we need to understand that there is an ever-increasing darkness, that there are those who do not want that light to come into our world. You know, think about it. If you walk into Walmart and you're talking to the greeter and it's Christmas time, what do they say to you? They don't say Merry Christmas. They say Happy Holidays, because they don't want to be offensive. The Scripture is an offense to those who are perishing. Jesus said that. And we need to understand, Jesus came in such a manner that as he let his light shine, he not only shined on the darkness in that area, but he shined on the darkness of the whole world. He allowed the world to see the darkness of God's most precious people. Remember, Israel was God's chosen people. And who did he come to shine the light to? The Hebrews. He came to shine light on those who were supposed to be light already. God was in their midst, and they cast him out. They even killed him. They tried to extinguish the light, but what they didn't realize was Jesus had already passed that light on. Who did he pass it on to? Well, folks, it's been passed on and passed on and passed on until now it dwells in us. That light cannot stop. Because he is an eternal light, and he shines from heaven now. And that light is alive and well in us. And we are not to hide it. We are to take it out and let people know it. Show it to everybody that we can. The second thing that we have to understand here is verse 17. He says, "For nothing is hidden that will not become evident, nor anything secret that will not be known and come to light." Now, one of the things I want you to understand here is Jesus is not talking about sin here, as many people have said. There are other places where he talks about things being brought out, where he talks about things being discovered, where he talks about, you know, the hidden things coming out. He's talking about people's hidden sins because the light will expose it. That's not what he's talking about here. How do we know that? He just interpreted the scripture that he spoke to his people, delivering to them the secrets of the kingdom. I want you to understand, there were men of old who spoke of mysterious things that people had no idea. We call it the mystery of God, okay? The mystery of God. Jesus is the revelation of that mystery. The mystery was the fact that the Messiah was to come and set us free. Moses was not considered righteous because he was a good man. Moses was considered righteous because he believed God that somewhere down the line a Messiah was going to come who was going to set his people free, past, present, and future. He didn't know how that was going to work, but he believed the mystery. Jesus is that revealed mystery. Okay? He is the secret thing. But the thing is not a thing. The thing is a he. He is God Almighty. So when we think about this scripture, when we think about what Jesus is saying here, he says, I'm the light of the world. Don't hide me. I'm going to make everything known to you. Now, how many of you right now know everything concerning God? Raise your hand. You notice mine's not up either. Because God's still revealing it to me, as just as he's revealing himself to you. And as we come under the Word of God, now that secret thing is revealed. As we come under that Word of God and we are transformed, now that secret thing is being revealed. The gospel of Jesus Christ is constantly at work in his people, bringing forth the goodness of that light, which casts out the darkness in our lives. How many of you right now can say, I used to walk in a whole lot more darkness than I do now? How many of you can say that? And that's the awesome part. That's progressive sanctification. You know, that's, you know, we all need to graduate from progressive sanctification. Okay? That's the class we're all in right now. Because that's where we live. As God works in us, we too are allowing those secret things to come out and to be revealed and taken away from us. For God says there's nothing that is going to be hidden, nothing that is going to be secret. Because Jesus is the revelation that is bringing to us the truth of God in himself. Now, one of the things that I want you to understand is the Jewish people literally understand that. But they reject it. How do I know that? Well, I copied this right off of the internet because I didn't want to change anything, okay? During Passover, do you remember what Jesus did at Passover? What did Jesus do at Passover? What sacrament of the church did he instrument at Passover? Communion. Okay? My teachers were raising, now my elders were raising their hands, and I praise Jesus on that one. They should know that, right? They're our elders. Communion. Well, how does communion show us Jesus from a Jewish perspective? Isn't that a Christian thing? Let's look at history. This is from the Jews for Jesus, okay? This, they wrote this, it's called the Mysterious Passover Symbols. Okay, remember, anything that's hidden, God's going to reveal, right? If it deals with God, those things that are hidden, those things that were kept secret, Jesus says that these things were hidden from long ago, but now he's making them known. Okay, he is, all right? Just as God said, I am, he is. This is kind of neat. It says, Passover is a beautiful, often mysterious celebration. More than any other festival, it has been at the heart of the universal Jewish experience, helping to form the core of spiritual identity and pointing inexorably to the hope of Israel's salvation. Okay? Remember, what is the Passover? The Passover is a celebration of Israel coming out of Egypt, of God rescuing them from death, and setting them into the promised land, giving them life, which is ultimately a picture of eternity, that God is going to rescue them from this life and bring them into eternity, that they are his people. Now, there's more to it than that. Two especially mysterious items on the Passover table were not part of the original celebration. Their names and significance are shrouded in the past. These symbols point to a surprising and intriguing indication of God's supernatural hand in developing the Passover observance through the ages. The first and best known of these symbols is called the Afikomen, A-F-I-K-O-M-E-N, Afikomen. According to the late Jewish scholar David Daub and others, Afikomen is actually a Greek word meaning the coming one, and it's a clear reference to the Messiah. The afikomen is a piece of matzah. What's matzah? It's bread. It's unleavened bread. And if you think about Passover, they were to take unleavened bread, bake it, and then eat it on their journey. Okay? Part of the celebration was you would take this unleavened bread and you would break it at the beginning of the meal, after the first cup. And then you would share that piece that you broke off. But the other piece you would hide. You would fold it in a cloth, okay? And that's where this goes. It says, the afikomen is a piece of matzah, unleavened bread, that is broken before the Passover meal. Part of it is wrapped in cloth and hidden, okay? It represents Christ. It represents the coming Messiah. That there is part of this blessing that is hidden from us right now because we're waiting to receive the Messiah. So they hide this piece of unleavened bread, okay? Because Christ is sinless, and leaven always represents sin. Kind of reinforces the parable I just spoke the other week, doesn't it? That the parable of the leaven in the flour is really a warning. It's not a good thing. At the end of the meal, this piece that is hidden is brought back as if found, and then it is shared, and then the last cup is given. Now, this is where it gets important. This is where it gets neat. Because when Jesus celebrated the Passover with his disciples in the upper room, he broke the bread we know as the aphikomen. He took that piece which is hidden, and he said to them, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." What he was telling them was, "I am the hidden one. I am the Messiah. I am the one that you've been waiting for." They understood it after the Holy Spirit came upon them, after Pentecost. When they were partaking it, do you think they understood it? Absolutely not. They're thinking, "What's this guy doing? You know, he's taking this Passover meal and he's doing something different with it." Because then after he broke that, he took the last cup. Remember, there's three cups that are given. The first cup that is given is a representation of God's saving grace, because they needed to be rescued, for their blood was being shed in Egypt. The second is a remembrance of the blood that was shed on the lentils that set them free. And the third is the wine of gladness. It's what they call the wine of gladness. We know it as the wine of the new covenant, because it truly is the gladness of the Lord in our lives. For by his blood, we were set free from our sins. Amen? So can you see how when we think about these hidden things, these secret things, Christ is the revelation of them all. He is the fulfillment of all Scripture. So when we look at this, the hidden things, and we still have things that are hidden in the Scriptures, don't we? How many of you have ever done this? You know, and this happens to me yet today. I'll be reading my Scriptures, and it's almost as if this verse looks like it's blinking at me. It's in bold print. It's like, oh my goodness, I never saw that before. Never been there, never done that, right? There are times that I read the Scripture and it's just like, holy cow, it was like the Gideon Bible in the video to me. I watched it three times. Holy cow, that's a Gideon Bible. God's talking to me. God talks to us because he's still revealing hidden things because our mind can't comprehend it all at once. Okay? Why do kids have to go through 12 years of school? Why do you have to go through 12 years of school and then college? If you wish to actually do something, why do you have to go through so much school to get an education? That's what we're told. Because they can't put it all in there at one time. You've got to grow up knowing these things. You've got to start somewhere and then add more. And guess what? When you graduate from high school, do you think you know it all? Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Believe me, we all did too. And we found out quickly that we don't know it all, that there's so much more. And that's one of the things that I love about God. There's so much more. Do you realize we're going to be with him for eternity? And in that eternity, we're going to be learning every moment. Because there's so much of him that we cannot absorb it into this finite mind. We have to be changed to be like him in order to receive all of it. And that just amazes me. And he's willing and he's wanting to take his time with us. Aren't you glad? Because you do realize what would happen if God poured out all that he is into our lives all at one time. What would happen to all of us? We would die. We would blow up. We would cease to exist, because the darkness that is in us would be purged so quickly it would kill us. We would, because he is a consuming fire. To consume that much darkness all at one time, woof, we'd be done. That's why no man can look into the face of God and live. We need to understand that light is so bright. That light is so consuming. He can only give us little bits at a time. Okay? How many of you have a dimmer switch on your spiritual life and you don't realize it? Okay? Where's your dimmer switch set? You know, because sometimes we turn it way up and then we turn it way down. When we want to do the things that, you know, well, I don't want God to know this, so we turn that dimmer switch way down, right? And sometimes it goes click, oh, a little too far, and we got to turn it back just a little bit. And that's what we do in our lives, and we need to get your fingers off the switch. Let God take care of that, okay? Let Him reveal to us what we need to have revealed to us and live in that revelation. Because everything that's hidden, He's going to show us. Because He is that which was hidden and is now known. The last portion of this, He says, so take care how you listen. For whoever has, to him more shall be given. And whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has, shall be taken away. Boy, that's really pretty simple, isn't it? When you think about it, you know, Christ is the light of the world. Everything that He is going to be revealed to us. Now, what you're told or what you have received, listen to it, all right? Listen to it. Become that. You know, I love, you know, my parents would say to me all the time, would you listen to me? And they would always slow down when they said that, listen to me. What they're telling us is not just to hear them with the words going in our ears and understanding the words, but to become that which they're asking us to become, right? That's what this word is telling us too. We are to become these things, because if we are not becoming them, what we think we have, and how many of us out here are fooling ourselves, we think we're all that spiritual when the reality is we're really down here somewhere. And we need to be up here because we know all the answers, okay? We can say all the answers, but do we do or do we become those answers? Have we listened? Because to whom is given much, much more will be given. But to he who has not, even what he thinketh he have shall be taken away. Jesus is talking about the judgment here. There are many who are in the church who are not doing what they're supposed to be doing, that when the time comes, even though they think they're in Christ, it's going to be taken away. How do we know that? Because we also know in the Scriptures, He says, there will be those who will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, look what I did in your name. We're talking about people who actually went out and did things. Okay? We're talking about people who were in the church. And He says, away from me, for I never knew you. And there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's what He's talking about here. It's a warning. For those of us who are gaining it, man, come under it. And the more you come under it, the more you understand, the more you take into yourself, the more light you are given, He wants us to shine it out. Because even more is going to come. You know, that's one of the neat things about God's light. When I turn on a flashlight, as the batteries get old, what happens to them? They go dim to the point where they go out. But in Christ Jesus, the older we get in Him, the more mature, okay? The more mature we get in Him, the brighter we're supposed to shine. What's our problem? We need to be shining brightly. We should be outshining the entire world. So we need to understand that this parable is talking to believers. It's telling us that Christ is that light, that everything that He is going to be revealed to us in time. Remember, He's not going to give you more than you can take. And then we're to retain it and use it and come under it because even more will be given. And if we won't, then even what we think we have is going to be taken. Those people who say, my faith is secret, my faith is private, when they get to heaven, Jesus is going to look at them and say, you were ashamed of me before man. I'm ashamed of you here. Think about that. That's all going to be a horrible place. Because those people are going to say, but I was in church every Sunday. Yeah, so was Satan. He's in church every Sunday. The next parable that we're going to talk about begins in chapter 11. Again, Jesus is talking about light here. So turn to chapter 11. We're going to be in verses 33 through 36. Verses 33 through 36, just a couple pages back. And he starts out almost identically as he has this last parable, but he's talking to a different group of people, okay? I want you to go back and look at 32, because that explains to us that he's talking to unbelievers, because he says, the men of Nineveh will stand up with this generation at the judgment and condemn it, because they represent, because they represented at the preaching of Jonah, they repented, wow. They repented at the preaching of Jonah, and behold, something greater than Jonah is here. He was talking to the Pharisees, and the Pharisees were doubting everything. He was talking to people that hated him and were trying to trick him up and trap him and do all kinds of stuff against him. And he then says to them, no one, after lighting a lamp, puts it away in a cellar or under a basket, but on the lampstand so that those who enter may see it. So he's talking about the fact that here I am. He says there's one here that's greater than Jonah. He's talking about himself. I am the light of the world. Again, he's speaking that very truth, that he is that light, and only truth and knowledge can come from Christ about spiritual things and about our entire life. Everything that we need to know is wrapped up in Christ. Everything that we need to be is wrapped up in Christ. And then from verse 34, he says to us these words. He says, the eye is the lamp of your body. When your eye is clear, your whole body is also full of light. But when it is bad, your body also is full of darkness. And 35, then watch out that the light in you is not darkness. Now, I think that last comment there is really kind of weird. How can light be darkness? Well, I want you to think about what they had for light in that day. Remember, historical, grammatical, rhetorical, theological. So we have to go back to the historical on this. What did they have for light? What did they use? They used oil lamps. And they weren't the nice, pretty oil lamps that we have today that have the glass globes on them that, you know, you can set the wick over here on the side and it burns real bright, or we can put it down real low, you know what I mean? It was a wick that set on a top of a clay pot. And in order to get that light to burn brightly, you had to keep the wick trimmed. What happens to a wick if you don't trim it? It begins to build up with soot, and it gets this long ash on it. How many of you have candles at your home? Okay? You burn a candle, and it burns in there for a while, and it gets this weird thingy on top, and then it smokes, and you know, all kinds of soot comes off of it, and it's not real bright. And the next thing you know, you got darkness going everywhere. Because do you ever see those little floaties when they come off? They literally float around the room. That's soot. Okay, I want you to think about the picture he's painting here. Because what he's telling us is we have allowed our wick to get too long. There's so much soot, so much ash built up. That the light that's under it is actually a darkness, because it's not illuminating anything. Because you can't see from that light. That light is just producing darkness into the room. It's putting soot out there. And soot just causes everything to get darker and darker until finally you can't see. So we need to trim that wick. He's talking about our eyes, our being. That when are we a trimmed wick? Are we shining like that wick is supposed to shine, okay? Because he's contrasting our eye to a wick. And is our eye clear? Are we seeing things clearly? Are we projecting things clearly? Or is our eye filled with soot and we're not seeing Christ? Because these people were in his midst. Please understand that. Jesus was right there. Remember what he said to poor Timothy, right? Or not Timothy, Thomas. I'll get it in a minute. Thomas hadn't seen him. His eyes were a little dark, weren't they? But when he seen him, what did he say to him? Don't just look at me. Because he said, lest I put my fingers in his hands and in his side, I'll not believe. And he says, now, do the very things you said you needed to do and believe. But blessed are they who do not see and yet believe. And that's where we stand. That's where we stand. And we need to understand, you know, Jesus here is speaking about that very reality, because in our lives, we can literally have a light in us, but that light is nothing but darkness. Because there's a spark of life in us. God breathed that into us. It's called the what? The nephesh. Yeah. The nephesh. Close enough, Bobby. I knew where you were going with that. The nephesh, the Spirit of God is in us, but we have allowed sin, soot, and ash to build up in our lives, that it is literally putting that fire out. Okay? There's no light at all. And from verse 36, he says this, "If therefore your whole body is full of light with no dark part in it, it will be wholly illuminated as when the lamp illuminates you with its rays." In other words, he's saying if your light, if your body, if all that you are is receiving me, you're going to shine just as I shine, brighter than the sun, because there is a light that is brighter than the sun, brothers and sisters. There are people out there who will not receive that light because there is nothing but darkness in them. And, you know, it's funny because I talked to Brother Whitey, because there are some people we can talk and talk and talk, and it does no good because they are not destined to come to light because they have refused God, just as these people did to the point of putting Christ on the cross. And we have to remember that we too were one of those people at one time when we were yet in our sin. But now that we have received the light, let us shine that light out into our world. That means taking the word out, being that light of Christ to a world that so graciously needs it. Because brothers and sisters, we just heard two parables. A parable that deals with us, the church, and a parable that deals with unbelievers. And there are going to be some people whose light is going to go out entirely. And that is death. That is death. Because if you don't trim a wick and it burns down, burns down, burns down, burns down, it will go out. Did you ever notice that with an oil lamp? It'll get to the point where it cannot continue to burn. It's built up with so much soot, it just goes out. And the only way to get it lit again is to trim the wick and bring it back up. But guess what? We don't have the power to do that, because that's called death and resurrection. It's only in the death of Jesus Christ that we find resurrection. Please understand that. That he was snuffed out on our behalf, but by the glory of God, he was raised back up, and his light burneth yet. Can I get an amen? So today I want you to think about these parables and think about how we can continue to illuminate our world, because that is what we're supposed to be. Nothing hidden. Nothing hidden. And receiving even more from God, that we may know more and be more to our world as he is more in us. Transformed hearts to Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you so much for the word that you give us, for the word that you are, Lord Jesus. And we put ourselves under your light, that you would illuminate the darkness in our lives and help us to take that light out into the world. Lord, we know there are some who will never receive it. But Father, that's up to you. We just need to shine that light every moment, every day, and then receive more. Because Lord, as we're shining, you're not going to let us burn out. You're going to give us more and more and more. So Father, we just pray that through your Holy Spirit that you would raise us up and give us the hope of glory, that we may understand the fullness of your love and your being. Father, we ask that you would go before us, that you would go behind us and on both sides of us, that you would protect us by your right hand, and that you would give us the grace and glory of your love, that we would truly shine as morning stars in the darkness of night. For Lord God, we thank you for the love that you give us. For it is in Christ Jesus that we come, and in Christ Jesus that we stand. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.